I got my baby fixed for another season. Invite you to turn in your Bibles, a pew Bible if you have one handy, to the very beginning, Genesis 1. We'll be reading some selected verses from the two different stories of creation that are found in the first and second chapters of Genesis. I would like you to notice that even before, in the first story of creation, which is found in chapter 1, even before humans are created, if you look at verse 21, we find the word, "So God created the great sea monsters," and so on and so on, "and God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth.'" And God saw that it was good. And then we get down to where God created humankind, beginning at verse 26. "Then God said, 'Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.' So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth.'" And then in verse 31, "God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good." And then you move into chapter 2, which includes or recounts the second version of creation, and I simply read for you the 15th verse. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it." Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Unless you are new to our congregation or simply haven't been paying attention, you know that we are a green faith congregation, meaning we are part of an ecumenical interfaith movement dedicated to responsible environmental stewardship. We are also certified as an Earth Care congregation by the PCUSA, primarily due to our relationship with Green Faith. Now, all of us would agree, I am sure, that we need to take care of the environment. That's part of our Christian responsibility. But when you get down to specifics, to specific practices, specific phenomena, differences emerge, often leading to heated debate. Is global warming only a natural phenomena, or is it aided by human behavior, or does it exist at all outside the media? Should fracking be allowed for natural gas as it is safe, or is it a disaster just waiting to happen? Is divestment from investing in fossil fuels an appropriate Christian response to stewardship? What about drilling for oil, laying pipelines? These are all issues debated in the public arena. Indeed, I can think of people sitting in this room right this moment that if you were to put them in a room to discuss this topic, they would both emerge with their necks bulging and their heads exploding in frustration and anger, one calling the other a tree hugger and the other responding, "You're nothing but an environmental abuser. You don't care about the earth." That's how potent the emotion is surrounding these environmental issues. Now, it is not my intent to raise anybody's blood pressure this morning, but what is my intent is to raise the issue of theology as it relates to the environment. And I invite you to reflect in your heart of hearts, what faithful Christian environmental stewardship looks like. David Rhodes, professor of New Testament at Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, notes, "The concept of environmental stewardship originates with the first of the creation stories, in which God gives humans dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the animals of the land. Traditionally, Christians have distorted the mandate to subdue and exercise dominion to mean that creation was made for human beings and that we have a right to dominate and exploit creation for our own wants and needs. This, of course, has led to incalculable abuses of nature. This abuse is not new. Indeed, it has a long history, as reflected in our opening prayer even, written by St. Basil more than 1,700 years ago. However, what we know now is that the Hebrew word for dominion does not mean to dominate or exploit. Rather, it means to take responsibility for. As a ruler would be responsible to assure the well-being of those in the realm. In this first creation story, human beings were created last, not as the crown of creation, so to speak, but in order to exercise specific responsibility for the well-being of the garden, earth. According to Genesis 1, exercising responsibility as part of God's creation is the main reason human beings were created. Did you hear that? Being stewards of creation is foundational for what it means to be human. Caring for creation is not an add-on, not a sideline, not related just to part of our calling. It is our calling. It represents our proper human relationship to earth. Human beings are in a caretaker position, stewards, in regard to environmental stewardship. And the second creation story goes even further in clarifying the concept of environmental stewardship. In this story, God put Adam and Eve in the garden in order to till it and to keep it. To till and keep the land. However, the words translated to till and to keep themselves can be misleading. The Hebrew word for till is a word used to depict the service that a slave gives to a master. And the Hebrew word for keep means to preserve for future generations. Hence, the mandate to till and to keep puts humans not in a hierarchical position in relation to the earth, but in a position of serving and preserving the earth for future generations. And just as the later Christian message depicts Jesus as a servant king, yes, a king exercising dominion, but still a servant, so humans are challenged in these creation stories to assume a similar role. We are to serve creation. Care for creation is to be exercised not to serve our own wants and desires, but to serve the best interest and well-being of the earth as a whole. The biblical witness regarding the relation of human beings to the created order, nature, is not to abuse and destroy. Rather, we are to serve and to preserve. There's another dimension at work as well, and Winnie the Pooh can illustrate it for us. Winnie the Pooh once said, "The only reason for being a bee is to make honey. And the only reason for making honey is so I can eat it." Well, far be it from me to pick a fight with A.A. Milne's fictional bear, but in fact, not only in Genesis, but the book of Psalms begs to differ with this principle. Each element of creation, the Psalms insist, exist not primarily for our consumption, but to praise its creator. That reality is reflected in our call to worship this morning. The meadows and valleys shout together in joy. In our opening hymn, creation has its own unique capacity to praise. Dr. Rhodes further points out, this stewardship role for humans as servants of creation is reinforced by the idea that creation was made for its own sake. After God created each part of creation, God saw that it was good in its own right, even before humans were created. Furthermore, as was noted in the first creation story, God mandated not just for humans, but also for animals to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth. God wishes for all species, not simply human beings, to survive and to thrive. In Psalm 104, the psalmist celebrates creation and explains that the grasses were made for the cattle and the crags for the mountain goats. All of creation has been arranged by God so that all animals receive their food in due season. If we are to be good stewards of the earth, there is a foundational reverence we need to bear toward all of life for its own sake, because it is God's creation. And it is filled with God's glory. The biblical writers invite us to delight in creation, for delight is the right basis for the use of it. We will preserve that in which we delight, and we are called to love creation. We will care for that which we love. Even more, we are invited to love creation as God loves it, not in the abstract, but concretely in terms of caring for life. You know, in a real sense, we humans are partners with God in being responsible for creation. As humans, however, not as gods, it might be more appropriate to say that we are responsible to creation, not for creation. We are responsible to creation. Most fundamentally, however, we are responsible to God to care for creation. That is our vocation. Friends, there is something about nature, is there not, that connects us with the divine. When we are getting our hands dirty in the soil, when we walk barefoot through the grass, when we roll in the snow or the surf, when we're out in the wilderness or hiking in the desert, there is a connection with the divine which is primal. Friends, the biblical witness is clear. We are caretakers, stewards of God's creation, not simply responsible for it, but responsible to it. As the meadows and valleys shout together in joyful praise, so we praise God when we serve and preserve those same meadows and valleys, fish and fowl, ocean and mountain. One of the catchphrases of the stewardship of the environment is sustainability. How do we serve creation so that it is preserved, sustained for future generations? Green Faith Committee member James Heinig shares a word about an upcoming opportunity.
Good morning. As Rick said, my name is James Heinig, and I am a member of the First Press Green Faith Committee. The Green Faith Committee is working to explore ways in which we can follow God's commandment to be faithful stewards of the creation. A core belief of Green Faith is that, and I quote, "religious traditions see the sacred in nature, and that people grow spiritually through a strong relationship with the earth." If this is something which may interest you, you're most welcome to join us. I would also like to announce an event taking place on Saturday, May 2nd, here in Caldwell, which may interest you. The Caldwell Environmental Commission is sponsoring a Sustainable Actions Day. It will take place down the street from here at Borough Hall from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. There will be giveaways of Bartlett tree seedlings and recycle bins, a bike swap where you can leave a bike and take a bike, electronics recycling, an opportunity to donate to Willing Hearts and the Caldwell Food Pantry, and a shredding truck where you can bring all of your unwanted recyclable paper. Again, that's Saturday, May 2nd, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Borough Hall in Caldwell. As part of our celebration today, you have an opportunity later on at coffee hour to use or to pick up a green First Presbyterian Church at Caldwell mug. Suggested donation is $5. Biologist E.O. Wilson has written, "If religion and science could be united on the common ground of biological conservation, the problem would soon be solved. If there is any moral precept shared by people of all beliefs, it is that we owe ourselves and future generations a beautiful, rich, and healthful environment. Please join the community on May 2nd and the Green Faith Committee at any time in helping to put that precept into action. Thank you very much."
Thank you, James. To serve and to preserve. Remember those issues I mentioned at the beginning of this sermon that often cause much debate? For the Christian, for those of us who identify ourselves as Christians, opinions and practices must be done under that foundational understanding, that foundational theological understanding, that our relationship to the earth is one of service and preservation. Let it be so in your life and mine. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you that you have given us such a beautiful earth in which to live and enjoy. May we be faithful stewards, not only of what you have given to us in terms of our time, talent, and abilities, but especially in the context of this green earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.